Welcome to the Voice of Hope with Pastor Andy Clark. I trust you've had a good week walking with the Lord. You know, our walk with the Lord is the most important thing in our life. Everything comes from our relationship with God. That's why I say I hope you had a good week walking with the Lord. The Voice of Hope is here to give you an encouraging word every week. And also you can go to my Facebook page, The Voice of Hope with Pastor Andy Clark. And I post a little encouraging word on my Facebook page. You can also go to YouTube at Voice of Hope Today and watch me teach. That's YouTube at Voice of Hope Today. And watch me teach two or three times a week, a little message, encouraging message for about 10 minutes. But I do this to encourage you in the Lord, because we live in difficult times, and the Voice of Hope is here to give you hope and to encourage you in your walk with the Lord. And so today I want to talk about our identity in Christ, our identity in Christ. And you may want to take a piece of paper and write down some of the scripture verses. And at the end of the program, you may want to pray about what you've heard on this program. But you know, when we become Christians, the Bible says that in John chapter 3, we are born again. So when you come become a Christian, it's not just accepting Christ as your Savior. You're born again. You see, the first time you were born a natural person. But you have to be born again of the Spirit of God in order to enter the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3. If you're not born again, you can't get into the kingdom of God. So when you're born again, you become a new person in Christ Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So when you're born again, you come into, it says, you're in Christ. Anyone who's in Christ Jesus. See, when you're born again, Christ comes and lives in you by the Holy Spirit. But you must also be in Christ. That means your life is in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the center of your life. I've compared it to before to being in your house. When you're in your house, no one can see. You're covered by your house. You're protected by your house from outside. So when you're born again, you become a new creation, a new person in Christ Jesus. See, so your life has to be in Jesus. And it's in Jesus that you walk in victory. It's in Jesus that you get healing. It's in Jesus that you live the Christian life that God has created you to live. So you're born again. Anyone who's in Christ Jesus is a new person. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. See, when you're in Christ, you're not the same person you were before. First time I was born the son of Thomas Clark. My father was a missionary. My father was a good man who loved God. He was a missionary for 35 years. Many of those years were in Africa. I was born in Liberia, grew up in Guinea, and lived in Sierra Leone because my parents were good. But I wasn't saved because my parents were good. One day I accepted Christ as my Savior. I was born again, and I received a new father. And God became my Father. The Holy Spirit came in me, and the Holy Spirit changed my life. My Father was a good example to me, but my Father could not change my life. My Father could not save me. I had to be born again. The Holy Spirit came in my life and totally changed my life. Before I became a Christian, I was very timid. I was very quiet. I did not do well in school. But after I was born again, became a child of God, the Spirit of God came in me and gave me confidence. And I began to do well in school. I became the top of my class. I began to excel in sports because I had a new confidence because of the Holy Spirit in me and my new identity in Christ. So God wants to bring us into this new identity. Many of us are struggling today because of challenges we have in our lives. And sometimes we judge ourselves according to our problems. And so if we have a lot of problems, we become discouraged. We see ourselves as weak and small. But if you're born again a child of God, your problems do not define you. It's who you are in Christ Jesus. And I want to look at a story in the Old Testament to help us understand how this works in our life. And it's a story probably many of you know. It's the story of a man named Gideon in Judges chapter 6. And we see in Judges chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, so the Lord delivered them over the hand of the Midian for 7 years, and the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel." So we know Israel, the Jews, were God's chosen people. God had blessed them. They were God's special people set aside to God. But Israel had left following God, and they began worshiping idols. And because they worshiped idols and didn't obey God and follow God, God allowed the enemy, the Midianites, to overcome them and defeat them because they were worshiping idols. Now, idolatry is when we put anything above God or put more importance or value in anything above God. You know, in America sometimes, and even and around the world, this is true, sometimes money or possessions or power or position can become idolatry. In other words, we put our confidence in money, we put our confidence in position of power, we put our confidence in things, we put our confidence in people. Anytime we put more confidence in something else rather than God, that's idolatry. I was a missionary in the country of Haiti for 9 years, and Haiti was a country that was involved in a type of witchcraft called voodoo. And in Haiti, there were very powerful witch doctors that controlled Haiti and controlled the power of Haiti. And so everyone in Haiti, were afraid of being cursed by a witch doctor. And I knew people, Christians. I knew a Christian lady who loved Jesus, had given her life to Christ, but she had lost 2 children to a curse. Someone had sent a curse against her family, and her 2 children, who were in perfect health, died immediately because of it. And she didn't understand why that happened. And the reason it happened was, like lots of Haitian Christians, she was still going to the witch doctor. And she was still paying the witch doctor for protection because she was afraid of the curse. So she still loved, she loved Jesus, and I believe she was born again. She loved God. She had given her life to God. She worshiped in church. She was involved in church. But because of fear of the witch doctor, she continued to pay the witch doctor some money for protection. And someone who had a more powerful witch doctor paid him to send a curse, and she lost her children. And I found that many, many Christians in Haiti were still paying witch doctors for protection. And so they were involved in idolatry. And today, Haiti is in a terrible condition. If you look up the news on Haiti, Haiti has been taken over by gangs. They rule neighborhoods. My brother's been a missionary in Haiti for 35 years. And a gang took over his neighborhood in the capital, Port-au-Prince of Haiti. And he had to move from his house out into the village. And many people have moved out in the villages because the capital has been taken over gangs and they control everything. And so there's extreme poverty in Haiti. People are suffering from hunger. People are dying hunger. People are being kidnapped. People are getting killed. And they're crying out to God for help. They're saying, "God, help us, deliver us." But because of the idolatry in their lives, God has allowed the enemy to destroy their lives. Jesus said, "The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give you life and life more abundantly." But you see, abundant life comes out of our relationship with Jesus Christ. In idolatry, we lose our authority over the enemy and we begin to suffer. I know many countries in Africa are involved in ancestor worship, and they're involved in practices to appease their ancestors or honor their ancestors. And they put their confidence in that, and because of that, they don't walk under God's blessing. See, you can't serve 2 masters, Jesus said. So God is calling us to commit ourselves fully to Him. And so in the story of Gideon, the children of Israel were God's chosen people. But they were involved in idolatry, so God allowed the enemy to defeat them, to rob them, and take everything they had. And so in verse 7 of chapter 6, it says, "So the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites oppressing them, and the Lord sent a prophet who spoke to them. And the prophet said, 'I am the Lord your God.'" God spoke to the prophet and said, "I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the God of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice." So they cried out to God, "God, deliver us from the enemy. We are suffering." And God sent a prophet or a pastor or a preacher or someone, and that person spoke to them the word of God and said, "You are not obeying my voice. You are walking in idolatry, and that's why you're suffering. And you need to repent." Repent means to turn away from what you're doing and walk in a new way. And so then we get down to the Judges chapter 6, verse 11. God appears to a man named Gideon. Now, Gideon, who is an Israelite, he's supposed to be walking God's blessing. But instead of that, because of the Midianites, Gideon is hiding, trying to thresh out some wheat. Instead of walking in blessing, he's just trying to get enough food to feed his family for that day. And I know many people who are struggling because they're just struggling to get enough every day, and God wants to bless them. God wants to prosper them. See, God blessed Israel, and God wants to bless us as his people if we'll commit our lives fully to him. See, blessing comes when we're in Christ Jesus. Blessing comes when we're a new person in Christ Jesus, when our life is totally in Christ and not in the world, when we're committed fully to Christ and Christ only. And so Gideon, the whole nation of Israel suffering, and Gideon suffering, and Gideon is just trying to get enough food for his family. And an angel appears to Gideon, and the angel says something very strange to him. The angel says to him that he is a mighty man of valor. In verse 12, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, mighty man of valor.'" Now, Gideon is very surprised at this. He's not a warrior. He's not a soldier. He's a farmer. And he's just trying to get enough food for his family. He's afraid of the enemy, afraid of the Midianites. And God shows up and says, "You're a mighty man of valor." See, because that is Gideon's true identity. Gideon was a child of God. He was walking under Abraham's covenant, a blessing, and he was a valiant man. But he wasn't walking in that because of idolatry, and he was suffering because of idolatry. And so Gideon does not see himself as a mighty man of valor. He sees himself according to his situation and circumstances. And he's suffering. Things are hard. He's crying out to God. God is not hearing his voice. But God still sees Gideon as a mighty man of valor. See, if you're born again and you accepted Christ as your Savior, you're a child of God. God sees you as his child. God sees you as an overcomer. God sees you as victorious and mighty. But the problem is that because of idolatry, you're struggling and you're having all these problems, and you don't see yourself as God sees you. But when you give your life fully to God and you're in Christ Jesus, you don't see yourself with all your problems, but you see yourself as Jesus sees you, as God sees you, as a child of Almighty God, because you've been born again. In Romans 8:1, it says, "Therefore there is no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus, who not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." See, when we see ourselves as God sees us, we don't walk according to idolatry. We don't walk according to the things of this world. We walk as Jesus walked, and Jesus walked in authority. Jesus walked, and he had power over everything because he understood that his identity was in God. He said, "The Father and I are one. Everything I do because the Father shows me what to do. Everything I say, the Father tells me to say. I only do and say what the Father tells me to do." And so Jesus is one with the Father. Jesus, God calls us into this relationship as children of God to be one with him. And so God appears to Gideon, and God says, you're a mighty man of valor. Then you go on down, and Gideon begins to give all kinds of excuses why he's not a mighty man of valor. And he said, you know, he said, my clan is the weakest clan, and I'm from the smallest tribe, and I am the youngest in my family. So I'm from the smallest tribe, I'm from the smallest clan, and I'm from the smallest family, and I'm the youngest in my family. How can I be a mighty man of valor? See, that was Gideon's old identity. Tribe, clan, and family was his old identity. See, he's seeing himself by his old identity. He's not seeing himself as a child of God. He's not seeing that God is his father, and he's not imitating God as father. He's imitating the people around about him. And he feels defeated, and he's hiding. And so God sends Gideon on a mission to change Gideon's attitude and to change Gideon's position. And the first thing God tells Gideon to do is tear down his father's idols. So his father had a village idol in the middle of his yard, and all the people of the village came and worshiped this idol. And so God told Gideon, the first thing you need to do is tear down this idol, your father's idol, because the idol was what was bringing the problem onto Israel. And so Gideon's afraid, so he takes the men at night and he tears down the idol. And because of that, all the people in the village are angry. They want to kill Gideon. And Gideon's father stands up and says something very wise. He says the idol's name was Baal. He says, if Baal is God, let Baal defend himself. And everybody was amazed because Gideon didn't die. Baal didn't kill Gideon because Gideon was a child of God. And so Gideon destroyed the idolatry of his family. Very important. You know, we need to deal with the idolatry in our own life. We need to deal with the idolatry in our family. So when Gideon destroyed the idolatry of his family, then God positioned Gideon to be victorious and to bring deliverance to his people. And so God tells Gideon, I want you to go and deliver your people from the Midianites. Now, the children of Israel didn't have weapons to fight with. They were not warriors. They were hiding from the Midianites. They were afraid and everything else. Gideon says, how am I going to do this? God says, I am going to give you the strength and power to overcome the enemy. Why? Because he had destroyed the idolatry in his family, the idolatry in his life, and now he was positioned to conquer the enemy. And so God tells Gideon to blow a trumpet for war. And so Gideon blows a trumpet, and a great army comes and joins Gideon, ready for battle. And so in chapter 6, verse 34, it says, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet and gathered behind him a great army of men to go against the Midianites. Why did they... follow Gideon? He was from the smallest tribe, the smallest, weakest clan, the youngest in his family. Why? Because Gideon had destroyed the idol that they worshipped, and he had not suffered. No curse had come on him. Nothing had happened to him. So everyone was talking about Gideon and what he had done. So when Gideon blew the trumpet, everybody came to Gideon because now Gideon was a man of God. And so it says 32,000 men came to Gideon. And then Gideon said, is there anybody here that's fearful? If you're afraid, go home. And so it says in Judges chapter 7, verse 5, it says, and 22,000 men returned home, and there were 10,000 left. So here they're coming against a great army. They have 32,000 men that have come to fight, but 22,000 are afraid. You know, you can't go into battle if you're afraid. You got to have courage. You got to have strength. You got to stand in the will of God to fight against the enemy. You know, we are children of God. We've been given authority. We have to walk in authority. Paul tells us to take up the armor of God that we may be able to fight against the enemy. We have the authority to overcome the enemy, but we can't be afraid. We have power to overcome the enemy, but we cannot be afraid. So 22,000 go home, 10,000 are left. So God says, oh, get in, 10,000 is still too many. Now the army was huge. The Midianites were huge. There were thousands and thousands of Midianites. And so they had now Gideon had 10,000. So God says to Gideon, I want you to go down by the stream, and I want you to soldiers drink water from the stream. So the soldiers went to drink water from the stream, and some of them put their face in the water and sucked the water up in their mouths, and others put took the water in their hand and brought the hand up to the mouth. So they're out there watching and observing while they drink water. You know, when you put your face in the water, you can't see anything. But the ones who were watchful and alert were taking the water with their hands. Out of the 10,000, 9,700 put their face in the water, and only 300 drank from their hands. So God told Gideon, you send the 9,700 home, and I'm going to give you victory with just 300 men. See, if we're going to take on the enemy, we got to be alert. See, when you put your mouth in the water, all you're concerned about is your need, your problem, satisfying your thirst, meeting your need. It's all about you. But you see, to be used of God, it has to be greater than you. You have to be alert. Jesus said to be alert because the devil goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You know, we have to be alert. We have to be attentive. We have to hear the voice of God, be willing to stand according to the will of God, and to do what God tells us to do, not just be concerned about ourselves. And so God has a plan for Gideon and his 300 men to conquer this great army. And so God tells him each soldier must take a pitcher, clay pitcher. They must take a torch, and they must take their sword. And these 300 at night, they surround the great army of the Midianites. Thousands and thousands and thousands of Midianites. As far as you can see is the army of Midianites, and only 300 men at night. And then when it was all dark at midnight, Gideon gave a shout. And when he gave a shout, they broke their pitchers and held their torches up in the air. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And when they did that, God sent fear upon the Midianites. And the Midianites panicked, and they began to run away. And the Israelites ran after the Midianites and completely destroyed them with just 300 men. Because they gave up their idolatry. They committed themselves fully to God. They weren't just concerned about themselves. They were concerned about what God wanted them to do. They were alert of what God had for them to do. See, God is calling us into a new position in Him. See, we have the authority and power over the enemy. God has given us that authority and power. But we can't compromise in our life. We have to walk in a way that's fully committed to God so that we can walk in His authority and power. We live in very difficult times. I know many people are facing challenges. Many Christians are facing challenges. And God wants us to learn how to walk in His life and His authority. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Hallelujah. You know, you need to begin to see yourself as God sees you, that you are a mighty man of valor, but you can't compromise with the world. You can't compromise with things of the world. You need to ask God, maybe there's some things in your life that are not pleasing to God. Maybe there's some things that you've hidden that no one even knows about that are not pleasing to God, that you need to get rid of in your life that is hindering the victory in your life. I don't know what it is. We saw in Romans 8:1, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but they walk according to the Spirit of God. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. So you see, when we're in Christ, our life, everything in our life is for Jesus. Our family is for Jesus. Our work is for Jesus. We don't compromise in anything because our life is for Jesus Christ. See, Jesus lived for one purpose. He didn't live to get money. He didn't live to have authority. He didn't live to have power. He lived for one reason, and that was to do the will of the Father. He said, I've come to do the will of the Father and to fulfill His work. And so God is calling for a people who will become Christians, give their lives to Jesus Christ, and live for Jesus fully. Cast off those things that are hindering you, those sins that so easily besets. Paul said, let us run with diligence the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let's cast off those things that easily hinder us and those sins that we have. And let us run with diligence the race that is set before us. See, God is calling us into a new level. Yeah, we have greater problems in the world. But with greater problems comes a greater level that God is calling us to so that we may walk in the fullness of what God has for us. In 1 Peter 2:9, says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That is who we are. We are God's chosen generation. We are God's royal priesthood. We represent God in the earth. We walk with God's authority. We are a holy nation. People are set aside totally to God. You know, I think God is getting ready to move by his Spirit. We are going to see God's Spirit and God's power and glory like we have never seen before. But God is looking for a people who are totally committed to him, that he can invest with his power and authority, that will not compromise himself. Lord God, I pray for every person listening to the voice of hope today. Lord God, I thank you for the victory that we have in you. Jesus, that you died on the cross for our sin, but you rose again, conquered Satan, conquered hell, conquered death, conquered sickness, conquered every power of the enemy, and you have given us your authority as your children, Lord God. But Lord, today we make a decision to fully commit our lives to you, Lord God. Lord, we lay aside every sin and every weight that upsets us and that hinders us from running this race, Lord God. Lord, I pray for your anointing upon every person listening to the voice of hope today. Lord, if there are those who are non-Christians, Lord God, who have not given their lives to you, I pray, Lord, today they will make a decision. You can make a decision right now and just say, Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. Change me, Lord God. Deliver me from the power of the enemy. You can pray that prayer. And God can make you a new person in Christ Jesus. The blood of Jesus will wash away all your sins and make you totally clean. But you have to walk in holiness. You have to walk in the fullness of what God has for you. Now, I think we're coming into the greatest days of the history of the church. You read Acts chapter 2 through 4 and see the power of God in the early church. And I believe the power of God is going to be greater in the last days than it was in the first days. That Jesus is coming back for a glorious church, a powerful church, a beautiful church that will not compromise themselves. Lord God, we just thank you today. I pray your blessing upon every person hearing my voice. Empower them today by your Spirit to walk according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh, and to walk out your purpose for their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I just want to encourage you today, spend a little time praying together, seek God's face, listen to the Holy Spirit, spend time in God's Word, allow yourself to grow in your relationship with God so that God can begin to set you free and use you to set others free. May God bless you. I want to encourage you, invite your friends to listen to the Voice of Hope on Sunday. Go to my Facebook page, The Voice of Hope with Pastor Andy Clark, or go to YouTube at Voice of Hope today. May God bless you and keep you by his power until we meet next week. In Jesus' name, amen.